Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 1, essentially picking up where we were last week. Malachi chapter 1, we'll read verse 6 through 8. God is speaking to the priests through the prophet Malachi. "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I'm a master, where's my fear? Says the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised your name? And God says, you offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to your governor. Will he be pleased with you, or accept your person? Says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of armies." Heavenly Father, please look upon us and help us as we study your word, help us to understand it, that we'd see Jesus Christ in it and be convicted to follow the Lord in a greater and more perfect way. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is part 3 of our subtopic, the book of Malachi. In our greater study of John the Baptist, this is part 31. But 3 weeks ago, I read 2 verses in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1. "A false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight." In Proverbs 16, verse 11, "A just weight and a just balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work." As I said, the prophet, he's speaking to the priests of the tabernacle or the temple, calling them out, showing that they are evil. These supposed men of God, evil, doing wrong in the house of God. And he talks about lame and sick and blind sacrifices. And God calls them out. He rebukes them. And as we go down in verse 9, we'll see that God gives them a chance to repent before judgment falls. But he says, if I'm a father, God the Father, why aren't you honoring me? And if I'm a master, then why aren't you showing me due respect? but instead you despise my name, God said. He talks about contemptible offerings. And we said, and we'll go into it in more detail today, that a priest's job is to offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. A lamb, a goat, a piece of bread, a drink to be poured out, whatever offering it was. The priest's job was to represent God to the people and the people to God. But they were corrupt. If I'm a master, where's my fear, my due respect? And Jesus said this in Luke chapter 6, verse 46 through 49. And why are you calling me Lord, Lord, or Master, Master, I suppose? But you're not doing the things that I say. Then he says, whosoever comes to me and hears what I say, oh, amen, preacher, that's a good word, but you won't do them, I will show exactly who that person is like. And verse 48 and 49, we ought to think about where we live in floody New Orleans. Think about when they build a house, they put pilings down first. Down in Houma, where I'm from, they don't have to care about that. It's not a problem. And think about the levees and the sheet pile and the fact that when they put those in, they didn't go down 70 feet. They didn't hit sand. Those levees were built on peat. And we know what happened for Katrina. I'll show you a man that hears my word and doesn't do what it says, doesn't obey, he's like this. Or let's do them in order. I'll show you what a man is like when he hears my word and does it, when he obeys me. He's like a man that built a house and dig deep and laid his foundation on a rock. Now, we don't have rocks here, but I hope that you understand. He put a foundation, and when the flood came, the stream beat vehemently or very strongly upon that house and couldn't shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. And we know rock, that's a symbol of Christ. You ought to build your life on Christ. But let's look at the other case. The one that hears and doesn't do is like a man that he didn't build a foundation for his house. He just built it on earth, just on ground, no pilings in our understanding. But when the stream came, the flood came and beat on that house, it immediately fell, just like those levees. And the ruin of that house was great. Again, you ought to build your life on Christ. Call him Lord, Lord, and Master, Master, and do what he says. These priests, they didn't do what God said. And we'll get to what they were supposed to do in just a second. But these priests would not do right. They wanted their wallets fat, I guess. They wanted to make money off of the things of God. Now, a laborer is worthy of his hire. You have a pastor and he gets a salary. He's worth every penny. And probably all ought to give him a raise. But we need to be pure in our hearts and not contemptible. But contemptible offerings, In Numbers chapter 9, verse 2, "This is the ordinance of the law which the Lord hath commanded, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that when they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came a yoke." The red heifer was a special kind of offering that they offered at the tabernacle or the temple later. But it was to be without spot, without blemish. And Peter quoted this probably in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Jesus never committed a sin, never committed one single sin. And when he died on the cross, he didn't die for his sin, but he died for you and me. And to carry this idea one step further, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 27, Paul says that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. I hope that you see how this sermon is going. If I'm a master, where's my fear? If I'm the Lord, why don't you do the things that I say? We know that Jesus died for us. And again, he lived a perfect life. Now, we can't live perfect lives, but we can be perfect in our hearts, which is what God cares about. We can try to do right in our hearts. And one of the apostles said that the man that steals, let him steal no more, and work with his hands, go get a good job, what have you, so that he could take care of his family and help out somebody when they get in trouble. In other words, holiness and sanctification. That's what God wants in us. God went through the trouble of sending his Son, who lived a perfect life and died for us. The least we could do, our reasonable service, Paul said, is to present our bodies and our minds and our hearts a perfect sacrifice that's acceptable to God. To stop sinning, to stop going to the bars, to stop looking at porn on the internet, to stop talking about people behind their back or gossiping. If you start to live right, then that's showing fear to the Master or honor to the Heavenly Father. But let's go on. Again, we're in Malachi chapter 1, in verse 9 and 10. Again, he's speaking to the priests. "And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us." God is giving the priests a chance to repent. God is saying, get your heart right, clean up your act, repent of your sin, do right, and get back to the job that Moses appointed you to do, which was to intercede on behalf of the people. And beseech God, or pray, that he will be gracious unto us. God is giving the priests a chance to repent. It's a call to repentance, and it's enough space to let them do it. Because, as we'll see in this book, and if we have a greater and larger view of the plan of God, because of sin and idolatry and rebellion. Israel was kicked out of their nation, out of their land, out of the land that was promised to them by God, kicked out in AD 70. And they didn't get back in until AD 1948, a little at a time. There are more Jews in New York than there are in the land of Israel. But they were kicked out for not following God. But again, God gave them a chance to repent. But then God goes on and talks about all the things that they do. It mentions the altar, God's altar, and all the things that they do. He says it's for naught, it's for nothing. You're wasting your time with all of the sacrifices. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand. Strong language. What do you know? God is serious about our sanctification. God is serious about us regarding sin in our lives and in our heart. What's the verse? If I regard sin in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. God sticks his fingers in his ears and won't hear your prayer on purpose if you're doing wrong. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. And I won't accept any of these offerings that you do all the time. Every day, once in the morning, once in the evening. The feast days, more offerings. I won't bother to look. I have no pleasure in you. Again, because of the corruption of the priests and their evil practices. Now, these offerings. I've told you about my website before, joeykelly.net. Don't go to .com, that's some clown in Germany, literally. joeykelly.net. Click on radio show, and you'll see everything that I've done, about 300 sermons since 2007. And early on, I began to teach through the book of Exodus. And then I got to chapter 24, I believe it is, and I stopped. But then later I came back, and I did a series on the last chapters, chapter 25 through 40, about the tabernacle and all the instructions that God gave. Hey, Moses, get some workmen and construct the temple or the tabernacle. The word tabernacle means tent. And unless the hurricane came and took your stuff, you live in a house instead of a tent. A tent is meant, hey, I'm going to go camping. I'll put a temporary little house in my trunk. I'll go to the mountains or the forest or whatever or wherever. And I'll put up a temporary little house or a tabernacle, because that's what the word tabernacle means, is a tent that was erected in the wilderness. But later on, God said, hey, let's build a temple and we'll retire that tabernacle. But the function of the tabernacle and of the temple, there were differences, yes, but the function is the same. It's a place to worship God in the Old Testament. But in Exodus chapter 39, the passage is verse 32 through 43, but I won't read all of that. We'll look at verse 35 through 39. And God is giving a list from inside the sanctuary, inside the Holy of Holies, out toward the people. And what it's picturing is God reaching out to man. Religion says, hey, let's go to God. And there are thousands of religions with all kinds of different gods, all kinds of different practices. We believe that God sent his son to die for us. Islam says, hey, God has no son. It's obviously different. But the Bible is true. The Bible is inspired by God, and God gives in this list a picture of him reaching out to man. And that as we follow his lead and go in, that's the proper way to get to God. It says the Ark of the Testimony. And everybody's seen the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark. That movie was made about the Ark of the Testimony. The Ark of the Testimony and the staves thereof and the mercy seat and the table of showbread and all the vessels. And then the candlestick with his lamps and all the vessels and oil for the light. And the golden altar and the anointing oil and the sweet incense and the hangings of the tabernacle door. And the brazen altar and his grate of brass, his staves and all of his vessels. The laver or basin, or we use the term lavatory today. And then it goes on talking about the hangings, whatever. In verse 41 it talks about Aaron the priest and his son's garments, and his garments, so that they would minister in the priest's office. And it's a wonderful study, and I don't talk about it enough. But if you think about it, and if you would, you can listen to the old sermons on my website, joeykelly.net. But we'll pick it up here, Malachi chapter 1, verse 11, next time.
Living below in this old sinful world, striving alone to face temptation's sword. Where could I go but to the Lord? Fellas, will you tell me, where could I go? Tell me, where could I go when I am seeking a refuge for my soul? My soul needs manna from above. Where could I go but to the Lord? I need for you to tell me, where could I go? Tell me, where could I go when I am seeking a refuge for my soul? Save me, yeah.
get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Tell me why. When I am seeking a refuge for my soul, when I am needing a friend that's able to save me in the end, tell me, where could I go? Tell me, where could I go? Somebody tell me, where could I go?
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net. That's joeykelly.net. And click on the ministry homepage or on the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 1208 Phocis Street. That's F-O-C-I-S Street, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.